First case on our calendar is 05-501 and 502. Leandro Jurgens Company versus Thomas Zano, William Wilkins, Tax Commissioner, Mr. Steinitz.
Good morning. At issue in this case is the status of application software for personal property tax purposes. In 1987, the 10th District Court of Appeals held in the CompuServe case that software constitutes intangible personal property, and for that reason is not subject to the personal property tax unless it enhances the value of some hardware on which it may be loaded. 5 years later, the Board of Tax Appeals in the Duriron case held exactly the same thing. Despite having modified the personal property tax laws on a number of occasions since 1987, the General Assembly has never taken exception to either the CompuServe or Duriron cases. In fact, they were considered settled law by taxpayers and the department alike until 1985, at which time this court decided the Community Mutual case. Community Mutual is a sales tax case. It involved a claim by the taxpayer that its purchase of magnetic tapes and hard copies of software that had been encoded on the tapes should be accepted from sales tax under the personal service exception. And this court held that because the software then in question wasn't developed for Community Mutual in that case, there was no personal service, and for that reason, the transfer of title and possession of the tangible personal property, the tapes and the hard copies of the software, in fact, were subject to sales tax. Now, the commissioner interprets that decision, the Community Mutual decision, as standing for the proposition that software constitutes tangible personal property. And the Board of Tax Appeals has, you know, rather lukewarm fashion, agreed with the department. In the final determination from which this appeal has been taken, the board wrote, because the Supreme Court appears to have determined in Community Mutual that software designed for multiple users constitutes tangible personal property, we find that the tax commissioner acted properly when he added these items to Jurgens' personal property tax base. I would submit to the court that a careful reading of the Community Mutual decision doesn't support that proposition. Nowhere in that decision does the court say that software of any kind constitutes tangible personal property.
Counsel, going back to the Franklin County case, the CompuServe case, which
yes,
I believe you feel is your strongest support for your position.
Well, I think it clearly supports our position, and it has been the law for 10 or 15 years.
Was that off-the-rack software?
It was both.
It was both?
Well, let me... It was both, and if you look at page 37 of the appendix, you will see the Board of Tax Appeals decision in the community, in the CompuServe case, and they refer in that case that at least some of the software was canned. It was already developed, and it was acquired by CompuServe to be relicensed to others. Having said that, I would concede that I believe the majority of the software in that case was customized.
Okay, and in your case,
it is all what we would call canned.
All right. And where is this taxpayer with the tax commissioner with respect to customized software? What position?
Could you restate your question? I'm not sure I followed it.
Customized software. What's the status of the tax commissioner's position on customized software?
The tax commissioner's?
Yes.
The tax commissioner's position, as of now, is that software for personal property tax purposes is tangible personal property, all of it subject to tax.
I thought I read somewhere that they've gravitated
towards that position. Initially, after CompuServe and Duriron came out, a number of years passed, and they didn't challenge software at all, believing it was intangible personal property as determined by the court. Community Mutual came out, again, the sales tax case, and they read that to mean that software, canned software, is tangible personal property. And so their intermediate position was canned software will be subject to the personal property tax. They've gone on record and issued announcements that currently, if they win this case, they're going to consider all software subject to the personal property tax.
Including the customized, tailored software.
I believe that's right.
You're not objecting to the community mutual holding with respect to the sales tax?
No, not at all.
And you just don't think that the sales tax holding applies to personal property tax?
That's correct. Well, two things. First of all, the court didn't say in Community Mutual that software constitutes tangible personal property. It said that the tapes, or whatever the medium might be, constitutes tangible
because
personal property.
Because they were encoded.
Well, it's something you can hold. It's tangible. And that's all that it's that's required for a sales tax analysis. If you have a transfer of title or possession of tangible personal property, you've got a sale that is potentially subject to tax. And the tapes serve that purpose in Community Mutual. In a property tax case, we've got the CompuServe decision in Duran saying the software itself is not tangible personal property, and so should not be subject to personal property tax unless, and this is the case with respect to system software as opposed to application software, the court held that system software enhanced the value of the hardware on which it was loaded, and for that reason, the value of the system software could be engrafted onto the hardware and taxed in that fashion. But we're dealing with application software in this case.
So does the holding of this case, if we agree with your position, limit it to application software or system
yes.
software or encompass both?
This case involves only application software. The CompuServe case clearly stated that with regard to system software, because it's essential for the operation of the hardware where they're going to engraft the value, or it's proper to engraft the value of the system software under the value of the hardware itself, and we don't quarrel with that. We quarrel with the notion that, well, a couple of things. First of all, Community Mutual doesn't say that software is tangible personal property. We also take note of the fact that the court or the tax commissioner relies on a case referred to in the Community Mutual decision, that being Interactive Information Systems. And in the Community Mutual decision, the court wrote this one sentence. Under Interactive Information Systems, encoded magnetic tapes are tangible personal property, close quote. I think it's important because informatics, Interactive Information Systems, is a pivotal case here. That was a case that the CompuServe court took into consideration at the time in 1987 when it rendered its determination. And it took into account the issue involved in Interactive Information. There, the taxpayer was claiming that its purchase of computer hardware was excepted from sales tax because it was used to develop software, and for that reason qualified for exception under the direct use in manufacturing exception. This court held that, well, first noted that the direct use in manufacturing exception requires that, in that case, the hardware affect a change in state or form of tangible personal property, and that software doesn't constitute tangible personal property, and for that reason the exception was disallowed and the hardware was considered subject to tax. The court also noted that hardware used to encode magnetic tapes would qualify, or at least could qualify, because the tapes do constitute tangible personal property, and encoding them affects a change in the state or form of the tape. I think the point to be made is that this court has drawn a clear distinction, I believe, between tapes as tangible personal property and the software that may or may not be encoded on those tapes, which the CompuServe court, Duryearn, and every decision that's addressed this issue up to this point in time is considered to be intangible personal property. Just to sum up.
Go ahead. I have a question. Just in thinking about how we ordinarily would discern what is tangible and what is intangible, you can feel this stuff, you can touch it, it has a set price, and I assume for taxing purposes it's that set price that's being used to determine how much
2 points
goes on the duplicate.
Two points with regard to your comment. Up until July of 2003, the General Assembly had never defined the term tangible personal property. There's just no definition in the code for that. In effective July of 2003, for sales tax purposes, and only for sales tax purposes, there is a definition of tangible personal property, and it parallels or tracks your comment. It's things you can see, feel, touch. It's perceptible to the senses. That's sentence one. Sentence two specifically includes within the definition, among other things, pre-written software. I think that points, and just pre-written software, not customized software, I think that points at two things. The need for that second sentence and the inclusion of the software in the second sentence suggests clearly to me that it's not included in the primary definition. It's not perceptible to the senses. Moreover, and also supporting the notion that software isn't per se tangible personal property, if it were, you wouldn't have a different treatment for canned software as opposed to customized.
Or it could be that they put that in to make it clear that they wanted to exempt the customized software, and so they need that sentence for that purpose.
But that
legislation is after the fact in terms of this case.
That legislation came after all the cases, and I think that's significant.
Well, I mean, but it with respect to the tax in question here, it came after that, didn't it?
Came in 2003.
Right. Well, I what I'm trying to think through is one approach that we could craft is to say, to come out the same way the General Assembly did on that, but in that is to say if it's canned, it's tangible personal property.
I don't mean to interrupt, but the General Assembly said that only for purposes of sales tax.
I understand, but we could do that here.
You could.
But in thinking through that, I have some difficulty conceptually with how the two are conceptually different. You pick them up, you transport them, you put them in.
Well, not necessarily. That's part of the, you know, there's a whole lot of sub-issues surrounding this case. Software, whether it's canned or customized, doesn't necessarily come in some tangible form. It's electronically communicated some of the time.
Sure.
I see my time is running short. I want to leave you with just one principal notion, and that is this. Since 1987, taxpayers have come to rely on the CompuServe decision. For 15 years or more, they have considered their software to be intangible property, not subject to tax, and the Department of Taxation didn't appeal CompuServe and didn't appeal DurIron. They rely exclusively on inferences drawn from the Community Mutual decision to change the law. I think it's important that if the law is to be changed, it should be done by the General Assembly. They're aware of these decisions. They could have made the change if they thought it was appropriate. They haven't. And now, with 2 years left in the personal property tax, we've got this sea change in policy and interpretation of the law, all based on language or an interpretation of the Community Mutual decision just doesn't hold water.
Can you clarify, please, what exactly your client is being taxed upon? I mean, we're not talking about preloaded software within the company computers, for example, the Windows operating system within a computer. We're not talking about that. Are we talking about a separate piece of software that was purchased and then loaded into the computer, or what are we talking about?
It's both. With regard to the operating software that came with the computers, that in fact is being subject to tax, and we're not challenging that portion of it.
All right.
It is the software that was acquired as time passes. It could be, in this case, it is all application software, some of which
that was bought off the rack, or
well. I don't know what the mechanics of how they did it, but it's pre-written software that they purchased for some amount of money, and based on the CompuServe and Duran line of cases, they considered that not to be subject to personal property tax because it's intangible. The department came in, audited them, discovered that there's some amount of money invested in this type of software and added it back to their tax base.
They did purchase it apart from their system itself.
Yes, yes.
And it could have been purchased by others as well.
There
it wasn't custom made.
That's right. This is all what we would call pre-written or canned software in this particular case. Although that is a distinction that is relevant for purposes of the sales tax, it's never been a distinction that's relevant for purposes of the personal property tax.
Why should they be treated differently?
Well, for personal property tax purposes, the software is considered intangible property. So it just doesn't make it. For sales tax, you need tangible personal property to have a taxable event. Because it's intangible property, it was not subject to the personal property tax. And that was the end of the analysis for personal property tax purposes. I'm not sure if I made that clear or just... You're
well,
not buying it.
Let me ask the question a little differently. Maybe it's the same question. How is the CAN software different in what it does in conveying information? It's a means of conveying information, transferring information, different than a book,
or
different than a book, or a CD, or a VHS video. How is it different
than
that?
I think the primary difference, or at least a difference, is that when you're talking about a book or a CD, the ongoing enjoyment of whatever the story or the song happens to be requires that you retain and use the tangible personal property. The medium is important, much like a picture. I mean, its value is that you can look at it. It's perceptible to the senses. With regard to software, the medium on which it's conveyed, if in fact there is any medium, because there isn't a medium in all cases, is simply a means of transportation. You receive it through the mail, or you pick it up at the store, you load it into your computer, and you throw the disk away. The medium itself is far less significant than, say, a book or a record.
So your position is it shouldn't matter if the application added to the computer was downloaded or was loaded through CD or was loaded through a floppy disk, that all of this is intangible?
The software, which is what you're taxing here, is intangible. That's what the court held, the Tenth Circuit held in 1987. That's been the law up until this case, the board's decision in this case, and that decision was based exclusively on the Community Mutual decision, and they read into that Community Mutual decision words that just aren't there.
And counsel, the application software really is useless unless it's actually applied to the computer.
Well, I guess that's right.
Whereas a book, whether you read it or not, the contents are there and aren't transformed in any way.
Think for a moment, if you bought software and I bought software, the same thing, except you got yours on a floppy disk and I got mine electronically telecommunicated. The department's position would be that you're subject to tax and I'm not. And the only distinction between the two is I got a $5 disk that I held for as long as it took to load the software into the computer, mm-hmm. and then I threw it away. To draw that type of a distinction and to focus on any value that might be associated with the physical medium is to elevate, I think, form over substance.
So in your position, the personal property tax applies to the computer itself?
It clearly does.
And not to what may go into the computer at a later point?
The hardware is tangible personal property. If it's used in business, it's subject to tax. Operating system software is considered to be a part of the value of the hardware, so it is subject to tax. Application software retains its identity as intangible personal property. It doesn't enhance the value of the computer much any more than a CD that enhances the value of a CD player. And for that reason, the application software is not subject to tax. That's been the law for 15 years. And again, the only reason we're standing here today is because the department reads into the Community Mutual decision language that isn't there, and a determination that isn't there. I'm well over my time.
Thank you, Mr. Stein.
Appreciate the court's attention.
Mr. Hubbard.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Software, i.e., computer programming instructions encoded on a tangible medium, constitute tangible personal property. That's what this court held in two prior decisions, the interactive information case back in 1985 and in Community Mutual in 1994.
Katzel, Mr. Steins makes the point that, because I was trying to think of this conceptually as a disc or a tape, but he makes the point that today a considerable amount of software is delivered without you going anywhere. Your computer is updated constantly if you've signed up for those kinds of services. There are competing ideas on where the brains of all this should be located, whether it should be on your desktop or in your building, or should it be in California, and you're paying a service for what's in California. If it's in, let's not make it complicated, let's say if it's in Cincinnati, would you be taxing it as personal property, and it's just delivered electronically, or the problems that you need to have solved, using the computer, are really solved at another location, and you're paying a service fee for that. Is that personal property?
Your Honor, that's an excellent question. And I'd first respond, and I realize it's not quite responsive to your question, but the evidentiary record here is that all of the tangible personal property, all the software we're talking about encoded on a tangible medium, the tangible medium involved is a portable tangible medium, a magnetic tape.
In this case.
Okay, so first of all, we're talking about canned software. You can go to Micro Center down, and pick it off the shelf. That's what all this software is. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Justice Lanziger, Microsoft, you mentioned Windows, mm-hmm. they're claiming that to be application software, even though Microsoft calls it operating system software. So that kind of shows you. But that is subject to this case. My colleague here has asserted that is, in fact, is application software, even though Microsoft calls it system software. And I specifically asked their witness, an in-house person, you mean to tell me Microsoft Windows operating system software you're saying is application software? And he said, that's right. He said he'd never heard it referred to as operating system software. I said, is that true of everything else you're saying? Because he just labeled things as operating or applications and didn't explain why. And then in the reply brief, they say, when I pointed out to the witness when I was puzzled by that, anybody would be puzzled. He just concluded that certain the software was applications without explaining it. And then when I pointed out the Windows operating system software, he's calling it applications. It didn't make any sense. Okay, but getting back to your question, Justice Pfeiffer, in actual practice, even now, what happens is when the computer software vendor, transmits electronically the software programming instructions, that is the software that's encoded on a tangible medium, what's going on is it's being transferred to the computer hard drive of the purchaser in virtually every instance. And so it becomes part, it's encoded on a tangible medium at the location of the consumer. Here, I think your hypo was Cincinnati was where the vendor was, and the consumer, say, in Columbus. So that would be. But there are situations it's theoretically possible that the actual encoding stays on the computer hard drive of the vendor's computer. In that case, the vendor would be subject to tangible personal property taxation for that software, but the consumer wouldn't be. I would point out that because of execution problems, that hardly ever occurs.
So you do take the position that even if you download electronically, it's taxable?
Yes, because the computer hard drive of the consumer, in this case Andrew Juergens, would be the tangible medium. There's a hard drive, which is a hard disk, a permanent disk in the computer, in the consumer's computer.
Now, if you download free application software,
Do you tax that too?
No, because there's no price. And Justice Pfeiffer was absolutely correct. For tangible personal property tax purposes, what we tax is the value. And that value is determined by the price less depreciation over time.
So if I pay $10 a month for upgrades, you tax that $10?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
And if I get free upgrades, you don't
tax?
You
wouldn't. Absolutely.
And if I have to pay $100 to download the initial program electronically, you tax the $100?
Yes. And that's, you know, if in fact it's actually encoded on the hard drive of the consumer's computer, which, in my understanding, is in today's technology, it is.
You base that on Community Mutual?
And on interactive information, which is in 1985. And I do want to clarify, the record doesn't reflect what the tax commissioner's practice has been, but CAN software throughout our history of the personal property tax law has always been treated as tangible personal property. And in the CompuServe case, if you look at the Court of Appeals decision, there was a sales tax component of that case and a personal property tax component. The question was whether it was subject to both of those taxes, and the court addressed both and analyze both in separate parts. And you'll see under the sales tax portion, they specifically say that all the software at issue in that case was in fact customized, because they reasoned that all of it was exempted from the sales tax, because not only because the court, I think, erroneously held that it was intangible, but also that it qualified as a personal or professional service transaction, which meant that it was uniquely written, i.e. customized, for the customer in that case, which was CompuServe.
The counsel, back to my question about the high end of this business, the engineer, the architect, the chemist, the mathematician, who on his computer in his office puts the problem in.
Yes.
And the problem is solved on a mainframe at Oracle in California, for which a fee is charged for that service. What do you tax there? What would the tax commissioner be taxing in that case?
Well, I want to clarify, and maybe in answering this, if I may, if what we're talking about is a computer software developer, and he has ideas, or she has ideas, and that developer gets a set of programming instructions, but it's not encoded on any tangible medium, okay? We have a completely different question. And that's certainly not at issue here. So if you mean that it then becomes encoded on some tangible medium through the technical know-how of a computer software manufacturer, then we're talking
about... I'm not suggesting that this person is trying to create software that's sitting at the desk. They're trying to solve their design problem.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
Yeah.
This is what the court said in interactive information. What the hypothetical you said, distinguishing tangible from intangible, the intangible ideas of the conception of the software developer, that's intangible. Those are intangible ideas. But once those intangible ideas are encoded on a tangible medium, they are transformed into tangible light. They become tangible personal property.
So what is the tax commissioner's position with respect to customized software?
That's certainly, and we've always taken the position that that's tangible personal property. Now, for sales and use tax purposes, and Your Honor, you asked the question about the sales tax definition that explicitly defines tangible personal property to include CAN software, but doesn't explicitly say that customized software is tangible. The reason for that is that customized software is always exempt from sales and use taxation, the sale of it is, because it's a personal professional service transaction. So there's no reason to put in the sales and use tax law that customized software is tangible. It's always going to be accepted inevitably as a personal or professional service transaction. That's why that's like that. There's no mystery to that.
But
it's not because...
But you would be applying...
Customized software is
intangible. You would be applying the personal property tax to customized software as well.
Absolutely. Now, with respect to that, the department has set an information release. They're not going to go back to pick up earlier tax years. First of all, there's a statute of limitations applicable. It's a two-year statute, so we couldn't go back very far anyway.
So this is something new?
Well, with respect to audit practice, when CompuServe came out, we continued to assess all computer software as tangible. Then Durian came out 4 years later at the Board of Tax Appeals, and it said that customized software, they're going to apply CompuServe. Okay. So there may have been a short period of time when we didn't get the customized software in every, if it didn't go to core functions of the computer, whatever that meant. But basically, that was a function of auditing. Our audit staff was very diminished over that time, and they had to prioritize.
Just so we're clear, the current position of the tax commissioner is customized software is taxable for personal property.
Absolutely.
Standpoint.
And we're applying both.
And
when Community Mutual came out, that simply confirmed what I believe a plain reading of interactive information said. I believe CompuServe, the Franklin County Court of Appeals, has misread that.
You've been taking that position for how long now?
Well,
With respect to customized software?
Since 1996. You know, when Community Mutual came out, there was a short period of time after that case came out where the department reflected on it and said, yes. And before that, we took that position. Before CompuServe, we took that position.
But did it make any difference that CompuServe was a sales tax case?
No, Your Honor, because, I'm sorry, CompuServe was a personal property tax
case. Community Mutual. I misspoke.
No, because the rationale of Community Mutual is that computer software, that is programming, instruction, and code on a tangible medium, is tangible personal property just as books and CDs and DVDs and, you know, musical recordings are. In fact, Justice O'Connor, you asked that question, well, isn't it even more tangible? Absolutely, because what a computer software does is it interacts with the computer hardware. So it runs the computer hardware, it runs related tangible personal property. A book or a DVD don't do that. So it's, I think it's interesting in the reply brief, they refer to CDs and CD players, and they say, well, a CD inserted into a CD player is akin to application software inserted into a computer. Well, if a CD is certainly tangible personal property. So if they're saying a CD is akin to application software, we agree, it's tangible personal property. But a CD inserted into a CD player, just like a CD-ROM inserted into a computer, simply what the computer does in the CD player do is they read that CD or CD-ROM. The CD-ROM is being acted on, and the CD are being acted on by the CD player in the computer. But with respect to application software, it's the other way around. The application software is actually informing the computer through instructions as to how to operate. It's running the computer. And like Encarta is a CD-ROM. CD-ROM means compact disk and read-only memory. So it's a read-only document. So the computer is reading that. The CD-ROM isn't controlling the computer. Yeah. The computer is reading the CD-ROM.
I want to come back to the practical application of the. You're asking us to write on this to make it absolutely clear that software, off the shelf, electronically. Or customized is subject to the personal property tax.
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, I want to go
back.
But
of course, you don't need to do that for this case because all we have is CAN software.
The only issue is the CAN software, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
You don't need to do that, but the import of this case, decisional law, the rationale for it would certainly extend
to
all software.
Well, as counsel for the taxpayer has indicated, his take is that the plan of the tax commissioner is to use the outcome of this case, if we come out the way you're arguing, to make the application to the other things that you, or to bolster support.
Again, Your Honor, we have a 2-year statute of limitations. We alerted everyone in the community what our position
was
at least 2 years ago.
Let me ask you, as a taxing matter, if going back to my suggested hypothetical, which I think occurs in the real world on a daily basis all over this state, where someone is sitting at their computer keyboard, and they're trying to solve a problem, but the brain power to solve that problem is located in California or in India.
Mm-hmm.
And the questions are put in, the question is formatted, the problem is formatted, it's solved somewhere else in the world, and the answer comes out back here. How do you?
That's not going to be included if the computer programming instructions are not encoded on the computer in Ohio.
Okay.
Now my understanding is that, you know, I don't know exactly what problems you're referring
well,
to.
No,
but
I'm
something
I'm
that's actually running computer program, a computer programming instructions running a computer. I'm not sure that's what you're referring to.
Well, though. What I was
that's
getting
typically is going to be downloaded in Ohio.
Okay. So, and how do you assess the tax? How do you determine?
You look at the price charged for that. It would be capitalized in the books of the taxpayers.
So, what I would think of more in terms
as an
of,
asset.
Of a rental charge.
Well, Your Honor,
and that's a crude way to characterize it, but you're charged for so much time solving this problem. That would be capitalized and taxed.
Well, okay, that's actually an excellent point. If you have that situation, I can see where you're going. Mm-hmm. No, that wouldn't be subject to the tax because that wouldn't be ownership, all right? That would be owning it.
Okay.
What we're talking about is a permanent right to use the property. That's what we have here. They call them licenses to use. But their permanent right, or at least Microsoft does, some people call them outright sales and other people call it where they're giving a license to use, which means there's a permanent right to use, but you can't transfer it to somebody else. It's like a copyright protection, like a book. Okay?
So,
I see what you're getting at. No, that would not be subject to tax.
Well, what I was getting at is the cost went up and down based on the usage. And
yeah, that is not capitalized assets. That is not ownership interest. The tangible personal property. Now, for sales tax purposes, you know, you have a different criteria because sales can include leases and, like, you know.
Well, that's what I was trying to get
at. Okay, I get it. I'm sorry. That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
You've used your time, Mr. Hubbard.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Steinitz, you've used your time, but I'm sorry, you have 4 minutes and about 4.5 minutes left. That's better, isn't it?
Remarkable. I don't have that much to say. Just a couple of points. Council has taken the position or indicated that when software is acquired, it's got to be stored somewhere, and it may be stored. Even when it comes in electronically, it's going to be stored on the hard drive of a computer. CompuServe addressed that, and it said that with respect to application software, the hard drive on the computer, the value of that hard drive isn't enhanced at all. Unlike operating system software, which would enhance the value of the hardware. It's akin to having a CD player. And each time you buy a new CD, you load it and you play it in your CD player. That doesn't enhance the value of the CD player. And that's what they would have you believe. With regard to the argument.
I need to interrupt you. I misread the clock and you were over 4 minutes, so you need to sum up.
Very well.
That was pretty remarkable, wasn't it?
I thought I was 5 minutes over.
Yeah, no, you don't. Eh?
Thank you very much.
Well, you said you didn't have a lot to say, so I'm helping you out.
There's a software application for you.
You've got to focus on, first of all, the history of the case law that's existed for a long period of time, and there's no reason based on Community Mutual to deviate from that decision. Taxpayers have relied on it over the years. To the extent you think about whether or not there's any tangible personal property involved in this case, separate and apart from the software itself, think about whether or not that property has any value. Their argument is akin to saying, if you write the formula for Coca-Cola or Kentucky Fried Chicken on a piece of paper, all of a sudden that piece of paper is worth millions of dollars. It defies logic. The value is in the software. The software is an intangible. Whether it's canned, whether it's customized, that's an irrelevant issue for personal property tax purposes. Thanks very much.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.